Welcome to the big interview on today's show. I'm always happy when I get a chance to chat with Andrew Foster. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Seafarer Capital Partners, the lead manager for the Seafarer Overseas Growth and Income Fund, SFGIX, the ticker symbol there, co-manager of the Seafarer Overseas Value Fund, SFVLX. And I should point out that he was on the show, I think it was maybe the second time that he was on the show, was right around when Seafarer Overseas Value Fund opened. And now it's been around long enough that it has a Morningstar rating, which means it's been here for more than 3 years, and it's getting a 4-star rating from Morningstar. But what I particularly like about chatting with Andrew, beyond the fact that, you know, we always like swimming in the brain fluid of smart people, is that the last time he was here, it was basically very early in the year, and we were talking about what a rough year 2018 had been. And now, well, he was nice enough to come back, but I had to kind of encourage him to come back because it's been having a great year. But if you want to learn more about how it works, seafarerfunds.com is the website. Andrew Foster, good to have you on Money Life again.
Hey, Chuck, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Circumstances have changed pretty dramatically in terms of the performance of your fund, but also the performance of emerging markets in general and the places in the world that you're looking at. It has not been necessarily a banner year for everybody, but last year was rough and you were not immune to it. This year has been much better, and it's been much better in spite of headlines that I think would have a lot of people saying that at least one big emerging market, that being China, should not be so good. So what's going on right now with emerging markets, given all the headline risk?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things happening at the same time, as is always the case, frankly. But I'd sum up by saying emerging markets are not that expensive. So that's one for the plus column, if you will. The stocks there are relatively attractively valued. I think on the negative column, we have perhaps the preeminent and most important of the emerging markets, China, going through a structural decline in its growth. It's basically not growing the way it used to because the country has too much debt and its economy is no longer as productive at the margin as it once was. So it's slowing down. Now, you hear a lot in terms of headlines that, and our president is almost claiming or even gloating over the idea that the U.S.'s trade disputes and trade war with China, which I think your audience is very familiar with from the headlines, is causing a slowdown in China. And I would say that is factually not true. It is not causing the slowdown. It is exacerbating it. It's icing on the cake. So it is an important factor, but the cake is already baked, and that's the China's slowing. So we have cheap stocks, but we have a lot of the growth drivers waning for structural reasons. And you put those two things together, it's not been an easy year for emerging market equities. But I'd say one more quick thing, and that's that as long as I keep working in these emerging market stocks, I see these countries generally slowing down because a lot of them are more mature than they once were, but they're still producing great companies. So, you know, in the past, people tended to invest in the emerging markets because the countries were growing quickly, and that's increasingly not the case. What is still happening is that, even happening more so than before, is you're getting some real world-class companies emerging out of the emerging markets, and those are still worth owning.
And so what that means is that ultimately we would expect that stock picking is going to be at a premium and indexing is going to get lower returns going forward?
Well, you know, I'm an active manager, and to an extent that might be surprising to some of your audience, I believe in a lot of the principles of indexing. Low cost, low turnover, long-term hold, those things generally work very well for folks. So I'm not here to say that indexes won't work, but what I would say is that for indexing to work well, it's got to cover a lot of the marketplace. It's got to cover it well, broadly, deeply. And unlike the S&P 500, unlike a lot of the major indices that people use to track the U.S. in their portfolio, the indices that work in my part of the world, the emerging markets, they are not designed in a way, they're designed to make it easy to replicate, which makes it easy to put in your portfolio at low cost, but they don't offer the breadth and depth that the, say, the S&P 500 or some of the broader indices do in the U.S. And that means a lot of the market goes untracked. And people don't get exposure to some of the companies that are, I guess you could say, difference makers. So so to me, that's, you know, I'm not here to say indices won't work, but I would say they aren't as comprehensive as they are elsewhere in the world.
So as you're talking about what we would expect, I mean, is this a sea change in terms of long-term expectations? So in other words, as you are looking out at emerging markets and envisioning the next quarter century, is the expectation for you that the returns of the next quarter century, they may be a little bit more consistent, but they may be a little bit lower overall than what we've seen from the last 25 years when we had that great country growth kind of backstopping and, you know, being the rising tide for so many places?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the right way to think about it and the right question to ask. To me, the emerging markets were poor, underdeveloped, and had a lot of gains that they could produce from becoming a bit more productive, and that fired up their economies. Many of these countries are getting to the tail end of that. So the countries themselves are not growing as rapidly. Further still, they were very dependent on the U.S. and exports to the U.S. for growth. Most of these countries in the emerging markets are not so dependent on the U.S. anymore. What they're dependent on is China. China is the big absorber of most of the exports that these smaller countries produce now. So it is increasingly the economic hub. So China, your audience should know, is no longer an export-driven country. It is on the cusp of running sustained deficits for trade because it's buying so much from all these other smaller countries around the world. The only country that it runs a large surplus with, China does, is the U.S., and that's how it pays for all the goods from everywhere else. So it comes out right now kind of on balance even and slightly negative. But China's increasingly looking like us, you know, a larger, richer nation that might run sustained trade deficits in the future. What does that tell me? China's not growing as fast. A lot of these other countries aren't growing as fast, but they are increasingly independent of the U.S. So long ago, you know, when this asset class, emerging markets, was first born, people talked a lot about it being a diversifier in your portfolio, decoupled from the rest of the world. That did not happen. It was, in fact, very intensely coupled with the rest of the world and meant a lot more exacerbated risk. I think you're going to see a world where there's slower, steadier growth and less dependent on what's happening in the U.S., and it might actually fulfill its long broken promise. It might finally fulfill the promise of being a diversifier in your portfolio.
You know, as I hear you talking, I've said for years we had to come up with a different name for emerging markets, that, you know, you couldn't look at China, which will at some point in the not too distant future be the world's largest economy, and say it's an emerging market. But we needed to come up with a different name. But as I hear you talk, and I know it's not necessarily your area of expertise, at least not in terms of you're running a fund there. But since you're saying that emerging markets, you can lower your expectations slightly. If you want the diversification and you want the kind of performance you've seen in the past out of emerging markets, does that mean that in the future we'll be diversifying and you might be pursuing opportunities in frontier markets?
You know, my firm does, I don't want to say dabble because that sounds we're complete dilettantes, but we don't have a lot of exposure to frontier, but we do dabble in them in the sense that we have a few holdings here and there. I think some of those, for those of the folks in your audience not familiar with the term, these are kind of pre-emerging market countries that haven't quite graduated to that tier in terms of their development, their sophistication, the breadth of their stock markets, and so forth. Countries on that list include places like Sri Lanka and Vietnam and some smaller countries in East Asia and Latin America and so forth. And yeah, we have a couple of holdings in that part of in some of those countries, and I think they do exhibit some of the characteristics. The problem is these countries are really small, their economies are small. So, you know, if I would say, if we go back in time, the emerging markets once looked like these frontier markets 25 years ago. They were small basket cases. They represented high growth opportunity, but they weren't very liquid. They were very hard to get money into, allocate your portfolio there, and the costs of doing so were high. The emerging markets are far deeper, bigger, and more liquid today. So they actually are a destination where people can put a substantial portion of the portfolio should they wish to do so. But the frontier, you rightly are saying, is it's probably where there's more growth ahead.
we're almost out of time here, and I've got to ask a question that, well, it's more for my audience's understanding of things and how they affect things. You and I, as I said, you've been coming on the show for several years. When you first came on the show, well, SFGIX, the Seafarer Overseas Growth and Income Fund, was a five-star fund for Morningstar. Now,
right.
Today, it is a three-star fund. And admittedly,
right.
You had a tough year last year, but you're back at the top of the charts again and killing it this year. So I'm curious, because my audience is always going to be curious. I mean, if they were there then, and I know that a couple of them were, right? They were investors when you were a five-star fund. Is anything about how you run the fund different just because you're labeled a three-star fund today?
We are running the fund the same way we've always done. Now, I mean, I would say there is one thing that your audience should know compared to where we were a few years ago. I have elevated some of my colleagues to that were working, I guess you could say, under me in a direct support role. They're now helping me at a more peer-to-peer level manage the fund. So we have three managers running the fund together now versus one boss and two people working under that boss. So that is a structural shift. But otherwise, the way we go about doing it is exactly the same.
Okay. So in other words, yeah, for anybody who's worried that like, okay, couple stars less means you've lost something off the fastball. Same fastball, just the market's changing, and sometimes your fund's going to be a little higher up the scoreboard and sometimes a little further down, right?
Yeah, we have a fairly eclectic strategy in what we try and do, and we don't have enough time to go and do it now, but I would just say that it works better in some environments than others, and you know, we went through a rough patch, but we're continuing to do the same thing that we've always done.
Andrew, thanks so much for taking that question, taking the tough questions, and also answering the ones that I'm sure for you are easy, but for us, we need enlightenment. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Chuck.
That's Andrew Foster. He is Chief Investment Officer at Seafarer Capital Partners, seafarerfunds.com for the Seafarer Overseas Growth and Income Fund, SFGIX, Seafarer Overseas Value, SFBLX.